Pat O'Connor is CEO of Minor League Baseball. He joins Richard Deitch and myself in Writer's Block. Pat, thank you so much for joining us today. I trust you're doing well. Look, I think we suspected that this day was going to come at some point. Long term, let's assume that best case scenario, baseball has something resembling a season this year. We get a vaccine at some point early next year. Life slowly begins to come back to normal. What is your best case scenario for minor league baseball next year?
Well, first of all, thanks, Jeff, for having me on. Richard, it's good to be with you as well. I trust all of you and your families and your staffs are all safe in this crazy time. You know, Jeff, my crystal ball is really, really fuzzy right now. There are so many factors on a decision and a scenario to try to answer your question. But, you know, I think that there are some things that have to happen, obviously. We have to buoy financially these organizations, these teams, to be around to deal with your question. What's it going to look like? So we've worked actively in Congress, in the states, to get some lifeline lending programs put into place. We hope in the next 4 to 6 weeks to be able to button that up and have something positive to report on that. I would like to think, Jeff, that the PBA is probably going to determine as much the first phase of what minor league baseball will look like in 2021. The agreement expires September 30th of this year. We will need to negotiate a new agreement for 21 and beyond. That will go first, and then we have to deal with the pandemic and the monumental task of sorting through anywhere from 120 to 160 jurisdictional requirements on health protocols. Regardless of where this goes, you know, nothing is going to be more important than the health and safety of our executives, of our players, and of our fans. We just simply are not going to be able to play in situations where we can't have reasonable or beyond reasonable assurance that it's safe to do so. So, you know, I mean, that's a long-winded answer to, I really don't know, but I would like to think that as things start to come into focus vaccine-wise with the disease, the COVID-19 virus, that we can start to piece something together. I mean, look, Jeff, we're looking at, with the cancellation, the announcement Tuesday of canceling the season, we're looking at full season clubs going 18 months without revenue. We're looking at short season clubs going 21 months without revenue. And you hit it right on the head, and you've got a good grasp on our situation. We don't have contract. You know, our business model, and you and I have talked about this a lot, Jeff, it's based on fans in the stands. And, you know, part of the decision to cancel, you know, people say, well, why did you wait so long? Well, we were working on Nashville-type solutions with Major League Baseball, and we were doing some work in developing. When it became evident after conversations with the commissioner, conversations with health agencies, there was just not going to be a feasible pathway for us to get players to some kind of spring training and in and out of our cities with any reasonable degree of health and safety protocols, you know, being practical. So, I would like to think, you know, that 2021, I'd love to say we're going to have a full season. I would tell you we have to have a season. If we go to an abbreviated season because of delays, pandemic created, you know, we'll deal with that when we turn the corner and get into January, February of 2021.
Pat, I wonder if you can educate our audience on this. It would be my thought that however this sort of ultimately plays out, It's the smaller cities, the ones with like single A rookie leagues, that would be more in danger than double A, triple A cities like Buffalo, which have larger stadiums. You'd figure maybe a little bit more runway to protect themselves during either a pandemic or contraction. Is that, will that ultimately be the result, that it's the bigger minor league clubs that survive and these small little towns like in Batavia, New York, we never see minor league baseball there again?
Well, Richard, I think you have to have two conversations. The smaller clubs are certainly the target of Major League Baseball and its contraction. But the pandemic is, it's not as predictable. I mean, you know, yes, the bigger clubs have a better chance and a longer runway, but they're playing in bigger stadiums. They have bigger debt services. They have bigger rents. They have larger staff. So, you know, it's not – the pandemic impact is not class specific, and it's not biased to one class over the other. Some of our strongest franchises who have the ability to generate the most revenue and in the end be quote-unquote the most successful also come with some of the greatest overhead. So, you know, and I've said it before and maybe on this show, our business is a great business, and it can be a profitable business that's great for communities. But our business model, Richard, is set up to play games and have people come into our stadium. And when you turn off that revenue tap, it can come to a screeching halt in a hurry. So I think there are two answers to your one question. And one is that I think the smaller clubs who have been challenged with facilities, been challenged to draw people, came under the scrutiny of Major League Baseball and contraction. But the pandemic is not as biased that way. It's hitting all levels of our clubs. In most cases, you're going to find the larger clubs either have capital or have the ability to get capital at a higher rate, a higher percentage, and a higher gross number than the smaller clubs, but they are still struggling. And no one sat around 10 years ago and signed a 20-year lease at X number of hundreds of thousands of dollars a year thinking that in 2020 they'd have no revenue. So it's a widespread problem, and it's a problem that, you know, it keeps me up at night. And we're working really hard with Congress. We're working really hard with our clubs. Congress has been fantastic in the states, and they understand the value of our product and the value of our clubs in these communities. But, they say when it rains, it pours. And, man, it's pouring on us right now. But we're a resilient lot. You know, we've got a bunch of guys who are lifers in this who we survived the 2008-2009 economic crisis in the states. This will be worse than that. It'll take a little longer to get back, but we will be back in some way, shape, or form.
And as you pointed out, Pat, you know, this is a separate issue to Major League Baseball's announced intentions to shrink the size of the minor leagues to begin with. So, I mean, we need to sort of separate that. I don't want people running around and saying that, you know, firing Rob Manfred because he's created the coronavirus pandemic that will kill minor league baseball. But that, I mean, that is still a separate issue. And has there been, I think I know the answer to this, but has there been any negotiations at all with Major League Baseball about the possible reduction of minor league teams? And from your point of view, Pat, look, I understand. I don't think anybody wants minor league baseball to be, you know, to be decreased in size. But that appears to be where we're going. And isn't it in some ways even harsher for organizations to not have some sort of closure about this at this time? Like, at least not knowing. The question isn't only, will I survive the economic implications of coronavirus? The question I would imagine for some owners is, and if I do that, what if minor or Major League Baseball doesn't want my team around next year?
Well, yeah, there is a chicken and egg element to this, Jeff, that if you are under the gun for contraction, and we've not had to answer the preliminary part or the first part of your question. There's been no conversation in since mid-April about a PBA and about a successor PBA or what things are going to look like. We would hope that if the Major League Baseball season gets underway, we can resume conversations. You know, if you're sitting in a single-A city and you have been identified as on the contraction list, how hard do you want to work to survive the pandemic? You know, are you going to be throwing good money after bad? Because no matter what you do to get through the pandemic, you're not going to have professional baseball as you had it last year. You know, so it is a real predicament, and it's a, you know, it's a problem for owners. It's a problem for cities. You know, part of the issue with the PBA is improved facilities. Do you want a city putting in any money into a ballpark in these pandemic times or post-pandemic times if you're not going to have a club to play there? So it's a big problem, and it just depends on which conversation you want to get in as to how bad it can be. Both are very touchy subjects, and you know, my concern is what Major League Baseball doesn't wipe out coronavirus possibly could. And so, you know, we're working very hard, Jeff and Richard, to get as many clubs healthy and to the other side of this pandemic so we can deal with Major League Baseball as a strong organization. And, you know, we have not agreed to anything with them, despite what many media reports would tell you. A lot of ground cover. But I have found in doing these deals and doing deals in general, if you have two parties who are interested in getting to yes and getting the deal done, you know, you can put it together pretty quickly. This is not perf. It's just a matter of sitting down and trying to provide each party, each other, with what they need to continue to survive as a business.
Pat, as minor league baseball heads forward, how would you rate the importance of having some kind of geographic balance to have clubs in as many states as possible as opposed to just one part of the United States?
Well, listen, the whole idea of growing baseball by cutting 25% of your fan of your number of teams is a little incongruent for me. Balance is important. I think for Major League Baseball, you know, my concerns obviously are with the clubs who stand to lose and the communities, more importantly, that stand to lose professional baseball as they've known it in some cases for close to 100 years. My bigger concern or my longer range concern is the health and welfare of the game. And I just think that, you know, when Major League Baseball went to primetime only marquee events, All-Star games were always at night, but when the World Series was never played during the day anymore, you know, I was of the opinion that we had lost a generation and a half or two generations of fans who were not able to see, you know, really marquee important games. And now to compound that with the fact that you're looking at just taking away baseball. You know, in many cases, minor league baseball is not only a community's first connection with professional baseball, it's its only connection with professional baseball. And, you know, they find out about the MLB channel and all the things of Major League Baseball through minor league baseball. And they find Major League Baseball because they've had minor league baseball and players have come through. When you cut that cord, I'm afraid that you're cutting off a part of the future of the game. So balance is important. Coverage is important. You know, and I've said it before, 81% of the United States lives within 50 miles of one of our ballparks. Major League Baseball can't say that. And when you have communities and entire states that have to travel hundreds of miles and pay hundreds of dollars to see one Major League game, they're going to find something else to do. And that's not good for the long-term health of this game.